Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The Masters is back, and this week DraftKings has given you 100-1 odds on the golfer if you're choosing to finish in the top 10. If you haven't tried DraftKings, go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the golfer if you're choosing finishes in the top 10. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $1 into $100 for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, and welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Tuesday, April 6th. The time is 10:05 a.m., and we are here in studio. We're ready for another great day after we have crowned a national championship, or a national champion, excuse me, there in the championship game last night. Hey, good morning to everybody out there. No matter where you are, no matter how you are listening to the show today, we appreciate you. We always appreciate you tuning in and making us a part of your morning or afternoon or whenever it is you get around to the show. We are broadcasting live on the radio at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, as always. And in case maybe you don't get to the live portion of the show, you can always go back and listen to the podcast, which is available moments after the show goes off the air. So in case you need to go back and listen to it later in the afternoon, it'll always be right there for you. That being said, though, hey, it's going to be a great day today. Got to get these guys in at the table. My name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Norick. And back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning to you both. How y'all doing?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Yeah, you should be doing pretty good. Chance.
Why should I be doing pretty good?
Trust me.
It's coming.
Although, many things I say are aggressive, you know, in that kind of way. That one was not. I mean that genuinely. You, sir, we confirmed something of a higher power last night, something that I don't even know if I've fully grasped yet. I've been able to fully comprehend. You should be feeling good, granted, but you've already known this.
My powers.
Your powers, yeah.
I just don't like how you didn't want to use the powers for me over the, you know, the UCLA game to just go ahead and get UCLA in there.
But look at the game that it gave us, Chance. Maybe the best game in the Final Four in years.
Yeah, it did. Then we got a last night because you had to use your powers. I just want to know, can I start just buying teams for you to put on so I can just put copious amounts of greenbacks?
Well, that was
or even I'd take you to the casino. I like to play a little roulette. I like to play craps. I will buy you hoodies and shirts with the numbers I do not need to be rolled, and you would just sporadically put them on. They might take us down in the basement like 21 and take out our kneecaps when they figure something's going on.
Only one way to find out, Chance.
Only one way to find out. I think we're on to something. Like, I feel like this can be – we can profitize this.
This was the conversation on Twitter last night. I believe it was DR Vall who even literally said, what do we need to do in order to get Brandon a t-shirt of every other SEC team? And I'm thinking in my head, I think he's got a lot of them so far, so we should be all right. But, you know, I want to know why this hasn't come out sooner, why we haven't taken advantage of this sooner. But, hey, it's all right. Now we know. It's out in the open now. It's no more a secret. I don't know if you were trying to hide it from the people.
I think I have to stop wearing Tennessee.
You're like Clark Kent.
I think I have to stop wearing Tennessee stuff.
You have to.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because you wear a lot of Tennessee stuff during the season, so you have to stop.
Fair point.
I feel like I have to stop.
You have to go like all in Florida, all in Bama.
This is going to be a full-time job for the rest of your life if you want to use your powers for Tennessee.
With great power
comes
great responsibility.
Ah, wise man once said that.
Yeah, heroes get remembered, but legends never die. Remember that.
And Shane Falco once said that.
You could be a legend. Nah, it was Sandlot. That's where I got it from. I don't know about the Sandlot. Babe Ruth said it in the Sandlot. The great Bambino.
Okay, the Sandlot quote, or excuse me, I had that wrong. The Replacements quote was, "Pain heals, chicks dig scars, glory lasts forever."
Yeah, that sounds more like the Replacements.
Yeah, that's
this was the Bambino Reeves, talking actually. To Benny the Jet Rodriguez before the big game.
Oh, what a movie. What a movie. What a start to the show today. And hey, we'd love for you to join in, 865-546-8200, as always. But Chance, you doing well today? You had a fun time watching the game last night?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was, Baylor. We all picked Baylor on the panel, so it was really no surprise. And it's funny, you know, I think Charlie talked about it, like whenever he had a good game going into the championship game, most of the time that team wasn't going to win. And I talked to somebody last night, too. They said, man, Gonzaga played so hard on Saturday. I mean, that's probably all they had, you know, just to get out of that UCLA game. And this is the toughest matchup that they've played all season. And what we saw was kind of what we speculated on a lot of the season. They don't have a tough conference. They didn't play a lot of, really tough non-conference opponents early on in the season. And their toughest game was, what, against Creighton. And then you saw what happened when they came up against a team that was very much more athletic. I think it showed last night how more athletic Baylor was than them. We talked about Baylor's defense going into it. Defense was phenomenal. Was phenomenal last night. They were, you know, offensive rebounding. They were on the boards, crashing the defensive glass. They were swarming the paint, all the blocks. Gonzaga really looked shell-shocked at a lot of points. I mean, Suggs tried and Timmy, they tried to get them back in it in points of the game, but Baylor was just too long. They were too athletic. They were too quick. They were the better team.
Well, I mean, I don't think that I think Gonzaga was a really good team.
No, they were. I mean, you can't go undefeated. I'm not saying, but like, I mean, come on. They don't have a tough conference, though.
Well, I mean, Grant, I still think if you put them in the SEC, I still think they run the table. I do. I mean, I see your point, and the West Coast
in comparison to Baylor.
Yeah, I mean the West Coast Conference isn't. I mean, obviously it's the competition that they play once they get into the conference takes a significant nosedive. But I feel like they played a really tough schedule. I mean they played West Virginia, they beat Kansas, they beat Auburn, Virginia. And then they get into conference play. I mean, it's a shortened season. I mean, I think a little bit of it was, maybe they kind of gave everything they had against UCLA. But, I mean, I think you got to just tip your cap to Baylor. I mean, they hounded them last night. I mean, they could not miss from three.
Yeah, from
could
behind the arc.
And you know, I don't want to take everything. Yes, because Gonzaga's a great team. That could have been history we saw. We hadn't seen – none of us had seen it. Last time it happened was in the 70s with Indiana. But I guess it's, in that moment last night, and that's a small sample size, it just showed how more athletic Baylor was in comparison to them. But, yeah, Gonzaga, great team. Like, definitely.
So there it is. Baylor is your national champion in what was one of the most unprecedented, unpredictable years in college basketball history, just like it's been for every other sport that's been happening around this time frame. Baylor goes 28-2 on their way to a national championship. Gonzaga, again, one game away from the perfect season. They end up 31-1. But again, you tip your cap to both teams because that was – I mean, even though it wasn't as close of a finish as we would have liked, even though Baylor pretty much maintained around a 15-point lead the whole game, it's still the game that we anticipated the most, still the game that we wanted the most. And again, Chance, I think that you're absolutely right to a degree. You know, we did see the best game in the Final Four. I did think that Gonzaga was playing a little bit like a team who just maybe had a little less juice, right? And You get so much of those emotions out. You get so much of just that raw emotion in that first game. It's tough to carry that over, I guess, two games. Baylor's just ready to play, man. Got to give them so much credit. But either way, we'll break down that game a little bit more coming up here soon. But we got a ton of stuff to get into today. A couple things on the Tennessee basketball front, as Dez Oliver is the latest Tennessee coach to head out. He heads to ETSU to take the head coaching job there. But who did we get as the replacement? Rick Barnes has found one of the replacements for his staff. Again, as Kim English and Dez Oliver have now departed from the staff. But Rick Barnes has filled one of those spots. We'll tell you all about who that is coming up here in the first segment. But we also got some other stuff to talk about. Certainly, I think the transfer portal. Chance, we started that conversation yesterday, but didn't eventually get around to it. I really want to finish that conversation today, talking about what the transfer portal is going to look like for the season. And it's a little bit murky still. And I think that we have a pretty good idea about what it's going to look like from a national front. But in terms of the conferences, it's all over the place. And there's still a lot of questions to be answered. So we'll kind of fill you in on that, tell you exactly what's going on. Because, again, you look at Tennessee's first transfer just from the basketball world, and it's a kid from Auburn. So you immediately know that no matter what the NCAA says, you're still going to be going through a little bit of an extra process with the SEC. Greg Sankey's talked about it. We'll give you a little bit more information on what that will look like coming up today.
Oh, we can get into this a little bit later. Did you all happen to watch Jeopardy last night?
Yeah, my guy. My guy. Discount double check.
I thought he did a pretty good job.
A lot of people were kind of confused if you hadn't followed along.
He's got it for the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, he's doing it for the next 2 weeks. But people were confused. Why is Aaron Rodgers doing Jeopardy? And, you know, because people kind of say he's not a likable guy. But he's always, even before Alex Trebek passed, I think he did a celebrity spot on there.
Yeah,
he loves Jeopardy. Yeah. Like, he has talked about it in interviews.
He's
like,
a well-known
it is one
fan.
Of his, like, he is a huge trivia guy, loves Jeopardy more than anything, and it's always been a dream of his to host it. So when Alex Trebek died, he kind of was pretty sad, and was doing a tribute, you know, speaking about him, and they got together and, yeah, kind of put it in play. And I remember it was a couple months ago he said he'd be doing it, but, yeah, he did a damn good job.
Yeah.
You know, he's
taking it very seriously.
The Ringer actually asked him, they asked him this question. A lot of people joke that Alex Trebek had the ultimate dream job of Jeopardy. He was paid pretty well to work just 40-something days a year. I've got to ask, would you ever consider giving up football to host Jeopardy? He says, I don't think I need to give up football to do it. They film 46 days a year. I worked 187 this year in Green Bay. That gives me about 178 days to do Jeopardy. Feel like I could. Also, I think he did that math in his head. It's pretty good. Actually, looking at it, that's a pretty easy number to subtract right there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he went to Cal Berkeley. I mean, I would imagine
he's a pretty smart guy.
He's a pretty smart guy.
He's
also NFL quarterback for many, many years.
Yes, very true. So he said, I feel like I could fit 46 into that 178 and make it work. It would be a dream job for sure, and I'm not shy at all about saying I want the job. That's how I went into it. I want an opportunity to be in the mix. I had not had a chance to see the whole episode yet.
Well,
I absolutely will be watching it today.
Tonight at 7 or 7:30.
Yeah.
It'll be there.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited for this. I think he is – I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan myself. So.
Me too. A lot of people just – it's all about, like, the family stuff that's been in the news about him and his brother and his mom and dad not getting along like people think that they should. People always try to be in people's business, don't really know the whole half of it. But, yeah, like, he's going to do a great job.
Yeah,
it's
I got
to say.
It's
the fact that he's, like, taking it so seriously and, like, feels so honored to be the host.
I got to say, I think with Aaron Rodgers, I might even have a little bit of selective memory because I know that there's a whole story with the family and with the brother and all those kind of – I've never really looked into it.
Yeah.
I do not know the full story. I know him from what I've seen on the on the field. I watched every single interview with Pat McAfee this year. And he is the most down-to-earth human being I've ever seen on those interviews. So I don't know what these TMZ stories are saying. But yeah, I'm picking and choosing what I'm enjoying
Same.
Watching from him. But everything I am, I think he's a very fascinating cat.
Yeah, I think that he has the swag and kind of the chip on his shoulder. And people hate that sometimes. But he's got the swagger. I'm pretty excited for him. I think it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah,
think about one of if you got to host Jeopardy, that's like, you know, up there, like, you know, one of us was hosting the 10 o'clock sports center, you know? Like, you know, it's a dream.
Oh, it's pretty darn cool.
Yeah. It's pretty badass. Yeah, no doubt. You got to tip the hat to it.
No doubt about it. I will, I can't wait to go check out that clip. So either way, all right, so we have, we've certainly made the most out of this opening segment so far. We'll take a quick break right here and come back on this side. Again, we are talking about some, a little bit of Tennessee basketball to start things off. Also, on the website right now, we got a nice little spotlight on the first of many spotlights we'll be doing over the course of the next couple weeks. Hendon Hooker is Tennessee's first spotlight player that our website team is breaking down. You can go and check that article out right now. Later coming up today, we'll also be looking at Hendon Hooker as Tennessee continues their work on the practice field. And a little bit more news from the roster, from the team coming off the football field. So either way, we got a ton of stuff to get into today. I'll stop rambling right now. We'll get right into it on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 10:24 a.m. We welcome Charlie Collier into the show today as we are getting ready to talk about our first story of the day. And if you asked people after the Tennessee basketball season ended, I think certainly people were worried to an extent that Kim English was leaving, right? But kind of an encouraged worry, right? And when I say that, I mean that we knew that eventually Kim English was going to be a guy who you were probably not going to be able to hang on to. He's headed off to greener pastures. And we also know that Rick Barnes has a good track record of filling in these assistant coaches. But I don't think what a lot of people might have expected were two assistant coaches to fill a spot, as Des Oliver is now the head coach at ETSU as they make it official yesterday. So Tennessee's left filling two assistant coaching positions here in the offseason, but just a short amount of time later, after Des Oliver was announced as the head coach yesterday at ETSU, Tennessee announced that they had hired their own replacement for one of these assistant coaches, and that is in the name of Rod Clark, a former assistant coach at Austin Peay, where the Austin Peay Governors had the OVC Player of the Year, Terry Taylor. So that is one of the names that Tennessee will be filling on the spot of its assistant coaching staff.
Rod Clark.
Rod Clark, yep.
Okay. Young, up-and-coming guy.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that sticks out to you is...
He's what, 28?
Yes.
Yep, only 28.
Not a ton of coaching experience, as I think to hear
his
the
report... His major experience was AAU basketball. Yeah. And maybe JUCO. Then he got the gig with Austin Peay this past summer. He was at Illinois Chicago. They were in the Horizon League, so that's JUCO. And
Horizon?
I think so, right?
That's Division I.
Turn your mic on.
He said that was
Division I. The Horizon League is Division
I. Thought it was,
that's
I
where
it was.
Cleveland State and Oakland and like Northern Kentucky.
Okay,
all
well, lower level leagues, group of fives. The group of five leagues.
You know, one thing that stands out to me about Rod Clark, too, that I really get excited about for next year is he was one of the coaches on the Nike basketball circuit. And we know that because of just one of the many awards and accolades that he has racked up, Kennedy Chandler was also a part of that Nike basketball circuit, and they actually were on the same team. So Rod Clark was one of the coaches for Kennedy Chandler in this, this Nike basketball thing.
He coached the
and that was in 2019.
Coached the Sunrise Christian. They were 24-2, appeared in the top five national rankings for the first time in program history when he was there, and also finished number two nationally. He's ranked 10th nationally in the following year. And like you said, the AAU stuff, his MoCan Elite team posted a 37 record in the spring and summer of 2018 en route to being named division champs and the Nike Peach Jam. He also helped develop current Bull, Shaq Harrison, also Tyrese Maxey of the Sixers, played at Kentucky.
So I think even what you can certainly tell kind of early on is, even though he's a young guy, even though he doesn't have too much experience, especially I think in the college world, especially like some of these other coaches, this is a young and up-and-coming guy who has certainly been around quality-level players. He's been a part of high-level circuits and teams. And again, not just college experience, right? I think that's one of the things that we might have to realize here is, hey, might not have the college experience, but what he does have is extremely high-level basketball experience at that about same age range. Right, again, working with Kennedy Chandler back in 2019, able to work with some of these guys in the highest level of high school basketball leagues. And look, what is that the exact age range of? Some of these freshmen one and dones.
Well, I mean, I think Barnes is kind of tabbing this guy to be his main recruiting guy.
Yeah, a lot of people have said yesterday, I heard people talking about that this is a recruiting hire, that he's like what Brandon just said, he's going to be main recruiter out there. He has a lot of ties to guys already, you know, that are very much prospects. And I heard somebody, I can't remember the name, that he had tied to a very prominent transfer player that maybe Tennessee might be able to pull in here. I'll research.
I can't think of the specific transfer player, but, you know, from what I've read online and just doing my research on this hire, he was a very sought-after name. It wasn't just like Tennessee went and just got him and, oh, thank you for giving me a job.
Yeah, I saw
thank
Barnes so said other high was, major, yeah,
there
other
were a lot of people that wanted him.
I wonder who, though. I wonder who. I mean, if it
and,
was like,
you know, I feel like
Carolina.
Obviously, at this point, Rick Barnes is not the same guy that's going out on the road and going to all these different events in the Peach Gym and the AAU tournaments and talking to these kids. And, you know, as he gets older, he relies a lot more on his assistants. And, you know, having an assistant that is really familiar with just that circuit and with that world that can really go out there and get it done for him and get those kids to campus for Rick Barnes. I think it sounds like a pretty excellent hire. I trust Rick Barnes to continue to hire good assistants.
This is what Barnes said about the hire, quote, "We had an opportunity to be very selective in making this hire, and I couldn't be more excited about adding Ron to our staff. We weren't the only high major program who wanted him, but thankfully he wanted to be at Tennessee. He fits everything we prioritize in our program culture, and I know he's going to connect with our players in a special way." Look, we talked a lot about, at you know, especially towards the end of the season, that Tennessee was going to have to do something this season to modernize the offense to a degree. And in reality, modernize a couple different spots on this team to a degree. It seemed like at points we were playing a little bit of a stale, formulaic offense. I think you guys are absolutely right, and this is a guy that you believe can be a very strong recruiter for Tennessee, especially now that Tennessee's name is that prominent again. But I also just look at his experience with the future of the sport that he's been with, right? You look where he's been, you look at all these high school teams that he's been with, you look at some of these great, these 17 and 18-year-old kids that he has been coaching for a couple of years now, and these guys are the future of what is in college basketball right now. As Chance said, what is in the pros right now? So he understands what these kids have to be doing at an even a younger age than college in order to be doing the right things and getting in the right mindsets to play offensively at a high level. So I do hope that that is a carryover that we get as well. I hope that we hopefully get a little bit of maybe an injection in just a little bit of a, I don't want to say youth culture because that's not it, but hopefully he has a little bit of a more modern understanding of the game from where these high-level kids are getting coached from a young age. He might know how to better use that right away when it comes to a developmental stance at Tennessee. Does that make any sense?
No, it does.
And again, I don't know in the entirely X's nose kind of coach he is, but I know with that kind of experience, like you got to bring that to the table, right? You got to be able to bring some modern ideas.
I mean, but do we really think that Barnes is going – I mean, I don't think Barnes is going to change his offense. I don't.
So, no, I think that's probably a lot to ask, and I wouldn't expect an entire offense change either. But, man, there's no way that you can look at what the scheme was, especially at the end of the year, and think to yourself that, hey, this is – the right way to compete against some of these other teams and where they're progressing. You know, again, I know that we've talked about this team a lot, but Alabama is one of those teams where you see modernizing and adapting a little bit to more what basketball is. So I don't expect them to totally revamp the offense, but, you know, don't you think that there's going to be areas or aspects where he might try to say, all right, maybe a little bit less of this next year and a little bit more of this.
I mean, I hope so. I hope he revamps his offense. I just don't think that he will. I mean, it didn't seem to work last year. The offense kind of struggled at a lot of points. So, I mean, I don't – and they never really changed it. And I don't know how difficult it would be to change mid-season. But, I mean, hopefully he at least tries to modernize it a little bit. I don't know.
I would like to see him incorporate some newer elements. But his offense, yeah, it was bad the last 2 years. But before that, it was pretty good. So you got to wonder, I mean, if he gets the right personnel again and that can really fit the offense he wants to run, if it'll find success again. I don't know. Maybe it was just Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield making up for a lack of a good offensive scheme just with their talent alone, or maybe, you know, it was a little bit of both.
You know, Tennessee basketball and Tennessee football will be heading into next season with two things that they didn't have last year: a quarterback and a point guard. I wonder how much that'll change things. Let's hit the football field right on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Gentlemen, here we go. Back here on the Blitz, 10:40 a.m. as we're checking in to the Tennessee football field and see what's going on during spring practice right now. It is continuing as the team is making its way towards the orange and white game, which will cap off this month here in a couple of weeks. But as things stand right now, there is another big story coming out of Tennessee that is not great publicity for the team. That's just straight up. We had talked about it during the opening drive yesterday. But we'll talk about it a little bit more today because the suspension officially had come down last night. So here's what happened. University of Tennessee football player Aaron Beasley has been suspended from the football team after being accused of animal cruelty, which resulted from an incident last week involving his girlfriend's roommate's 6-month-old kitten. Tennessee spokesperson has released a statement. Here's what he said. Quote, we have received the incident report from the Knoxville Police Department. Aaron Beasley has been suspended indefinitely from all football team activities as we await further information. So again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the news did come out that Aaron Beasley is now suspended. So, Brandon, if you look back to Tennessee's linebacker room of last year, help me out here.
Okay.
Hank T.
Transfer portal.
Quavarius Crouch.
Transfer portal.
Okay. Aaron Beasley.
Injury rehab. No timetable for his return.
Injury rehab.
Mm-hmm.
I think Banks is the one with the injury rehab.
Yeah, you said Beasley.
Oh, you said Beasley?
And you said, yeah, Beasley's suspended definitely. Oh. Banks is the injury rehab.
Sorry.
So,
sorry.
I was so confused.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Sorry.
You're
suspended.
Good. So Beasley, right? That's the one that we just talked about.
Correct.
Martavius French, what about that one?
Suspended.
Oh.
Yep.
Aaron Willis.
Suspended.
Oh. Kicked in the dough.
And then Jeremy Banks.
Injury rehab.
Yeah, limited at practice so far. Friends... The linebacker room is short right now. Judging by my count, let me go back and find.
You just got Will Albright.
Will
Albright
is
all you could ever need.
Right now, you got Morvin Joseph, Salon Page, Will Albright, the long snapper, Enrique Valentine, who is a walk-on with the team. Jeremy Banks was a part of the most recent practice, but not in pads, so just kind of walk through medical stuff, so not actually doing stuff. And he had missed the prior practices in their entirety. And then Quazay Garland, I believe, worked out the linebackers during the last practice as well. So there you go. It's quite the thin group.
Is there anyone left in the portal at all that we can go get besides our own two linebackers? I mean, at this point, like, I'll take anyone from an FCS linebackers. Will Albright didn't even start for his high school at linebacker. He didn't even place at all, really, at linebacker. Nothing significant. He was just focused on long snapping.
What are we doing?
Like, it'd be one thing if we're like, yeah, this kid was a pretty good linebacker in high school, and now he just long snaps. Like, no, he wasn't.
Like, what are we doing as a football pro, as a university? First of all, why is he just suspended indefinitely? Just go ahead and kick him off the team. Dondi, you step in. Just kick him out of school.
Hey.
Kick him out of school.
Innocent until proven guilty. That's one of the standards this nation was built on.
Come on. Okay, fine. But
I mean, if he's guilty, like, kick him out of the country for all I care. But he deserves his right to trial.
Due process.
Did you not watch the documentary on Netflix? Don't F with Cats?
Yeah. Oh, that's the first thing I thought of, yeah.
If he would have watched this would have never happened.
Well, I hope he, like,
sure. These internet
if he did it, I hope he just also probably needs some, like, psychiatric help. That's usually a sign of some mental health issues, is animal cruelty. You got to be pretty messed up if you can do that to an animal.
Brandon, there's no doubt that there is a continued bad look upon Tennessee from a national perspective. I think if you've been looking outside, or if you've been on the outside looking inside to the Tennessee football program,
I can't wait
in the last
for the
4 months,
white game and they
you
talk
have
about it.
Seen a head coach get fired. You have seen a head coach get investigated. You've seen a team get investigated. You've seen a new staff get brought on. You've seen an athletic director go ahead and throw his hands up in the air and be done with it. You saw violations involving fast food McDonald's bags. And now, in the middle of spring practice, once you finally can get these kids back on the field, finally get them just running around and playing the sport of football again with some actual coaches, it's unfortunate that the thing we're talking about right now, the thing we were talking about last week, was a theft and a burglary that happened on campus. The thing that we're talking about this week, you know, is animal abuse. And it's embarrassing. I know it's not on us. There's nothing that we did. But it is embarrassing sometimes to... And, you know, what are you going to do about this? But, man, there's got to be some kind of control going on there. The good news about this all, if you want to find some silver lining, is that no one's getting suspended right now and no one's getting injured in the fall. Right? Well, at least we're not at fall camp right now. We're at spring camp. If we're at fall camp right now, things would be looking atrocious.
We'd be figuring out how to run the first off defense without linebackers.
Atrocious. But we're in spring. So silver lining. But come on, man. It's embarrassing. It's tough.
So he hit and kicked the six-month-old kitten named Nugget.
And allegedly also tried to drown it in the toilet.
Locked him in the toilet bowl.
To the point where, like, it has permanent brain damage.
Will not be able to walk again.
Held him upside down by the tail. Rushed Nugget to the ER. Brain damage. Hard time walking. Has bleeding hemorrhage on his kidney.
Oh.
Clots in his bladder and is currently on an oxygen tank.
It's a tough cat.
Gotta say, there's been a GoFundMe page for the cat. It's raised over $5,000. A lot of money. Yeah, and I'm sure it's gonna need it too. Like the owner, it's gonna, you know,
I demand,
talking about the vet.
I demand Heupel gives $25,000.
So that is a little bit of your news for the day on the football team as Tennessee continues its spring practice. At least,
you want a funny
what
cat
is rest
story?
Of what is the rest of the roster?
I need some kind of positive
funny
news.
Cat
yeah.
story.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So when I was younger, I got into some trouble. It was pre-21, and okay. So it was my punishment instead of like having any like you know punitive like punishment like anything on my record. I do community service. Mm-hmm. So I did community service at a cat shelter. It's called Cats R Us. In Clarksville,
no.
Tennessee.
No.
I'm not lying. I don't come to you guys and bring this is not for theatrics. This is real stuff. It was one of the worst things that I ever had to do.
Sounds fun. I would.
I mean, I'm not a big cat guy.
Cats R Us, no, Clarksville, Tennessee.
I would happily volunteer at Cats R Us.
Just look it up. Cat shelter.
Oh, man.
Had your boy in there.
I couldn't do that.
In there scooping up the kitty litter.
Oh, now, look, wow. you can volunteer. Yeah. I'll sign you up, Rick.
No, so, wait, whoa.
I was made to volunteer, though.
All right, here we go back here on the Blitz as we are making our way through the first hour of the show today. Still got so much stuff to talk about coming up today, including a little bit about Tennessee's newest transfer, Justin Powell, and going back to last night's March Madness Championship. But before we get into any of that, got to tell you that this segment of the show and this hour, this first hour of the show, is brought to you by our good friends at
FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, sir.
Got the Masters coming up.
Oh, boy.
One of the best things about golf is it's a sure thing, Rick. If you want to start betting on golf, FanDuel Sportsbook has a gimme just for you.
For me.
Well, you.
The Rick Butler bet.
And any of the other people out there listening.
Whatever.
New users. Here it is, Rick. Okay. Listen up. Here's your gimme. New users get 20-1 odds on Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, or Jordan Spieth.
Oh, my God.
Just to make the cut.
You just sold me. I mean,
I don't think you heard me correctly.
All right. Focus.
Not
back.
To win.
Okay.
Not 20-1 odds on Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, or Jordan Spieth to win. Just to make the cut.
Just to continue into the weekend. You're giving me three of the best golfers in the world.
Yep.
I'm saying I'm taking that every day of the week and twice on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's right. And just take your pick. You'll get 20-1 odds on three of the world's best golfers just to make the cut. You can win $100,000 on a $5 bet. There isn't much more of a gimme than that. And when you do win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours because that's the right thing to do. That's just what they do over at FanDuel. The world's best golfers tee off in Augusta on April 8th. And the tournament will run through the 11th. And there are even more ways to win with America's number one sportsbook. Just create your account using promo code BLITZ to get 20-1 odds. Again, that's promo code BLITZ only on FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Present Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $100 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
That's a pretty good bet. Pretty darn good bet. Yeah, man. Just to make the cut, just to play into the
500
weekend.
500 gets you 100,000?
Wow.
Did I hear you correctly?
Well, let me read it again.
We will get you your exact information. Here it is.
Sorry. $5 bet will win you $100.
Oh. Like, whoa. $500. We need to clarify. $5 bet.
$5 bet will win you $100.
Because I was about to go find somebody. New user. Take this $500. I mean, it's worth a try. It's worth a try.
$5 bet.
I'm going to pick up
anybody. We'll win three new users. 100.
Yeah. I would have found three new users, as Charlie said. We would have went to the bank on that. I just had to make sure, because I know there were some other people who were listening that, ooh.
$5 bet.
Drive down.
$100.
Bridge, hey, man. Sign up.
Dustin Johnson. Signing up. Rory McIlroy. Jordan Spieth.
I was going to be signing up so many people. So many people. Take my money.
Oh, man.
Take my money.
Take advantage of the offer. You do not want to miss that,
you guys,
at all.
All right, so I've got my Masters board I brought in. I figured that.
Look at that.
All right, so this is my little Masters board. I have to come up with
cheat sheet.
All right, so I have to select five players for a total of 25 points. Just I need you guys to give me.
Five Tony Finaus.
That would be 40 points because he's worth 8 on here.
Yeah, but if you get him 5 times, they take a price. It's, yeah, there's a whole thing.
We're going to bet Tony Finau. Don't worry. We are going to bet
Tony Finau. Buy Tony Finau in bulk. It's at a reduced price.
Buy in bulk.
Ride the wave. Buy him on the dip right now. Buy him on the dip. Buy him on the dip.
He didn't make the cut last week.
Is this the Costco tournament here?
But I need you guys to give me some golfers.
All right.
I'm going to pick Tony
Max
Finau.
Homa.
Max, oh, he's 5 points. He's ranked 37th in the world.
I feel like you need to distribute, right? Like any good thing, you need to take a couple of, you know, big money players.
Well, I got to take one of the top players.
Yeah.
The top five are, these players are worth 10 points. Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas,
uh-huh.
John Rahm,
Colin Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, I was going to say. He if he wasn't in the top tier, you should have taken him.
I just don't like DeChambeau.
He's so unlikable.
I get that.
Huh. Xander Schauffele, that's another one that's there. Brooks Koepka, you know, you can always take the FSU guy. He's won it twice now, right?
What about Sergio?
Sergio is on here. He's good value.
What about
value.
Bubba?
He's 5 points. What about Bubba? Good value. Bubba Watson actually is outside of the top 50, so that's 1 point.
I like repeat winners. I like guys who have done it before. Mm-hmm. You know they know the course.
Yes.
You know that they have done that course at the highest level in the world before. That's why a guy like Spieth, right, heading into this tournament with 3 out of his last 5 majors in the top 5, Spieth knows that course.
He's also on a comeback. He's a one-pointer because before the win on Sunday, the board was already made.
Oh,
so he was like 57th in the world before he moved up to 38.
So he's a no-brainer.
Also, some other value plays. I'm looking at the odds. These are some guys that are like pretty far down there. Danny Willett, Ian Poulter, Kevin Na, and Kevin Kisner, and Cameron Champ, I think, are all some guys that give you really good value.
Those would be some one-pointers for me.
Now, Chance, I got to say, though, I did read this story yesterday. All right, Big Bryson, my guy. Mm-hmm. All right, Big Bryson DeChambeau. Hold on. I was looking at this.
Is it wrong that I don't like it that he crushes the ball and he's kind of like...
I despise it.
Braggadocious
wrong,
about it. Like,
but it's a little crazy.
I don't like
wrong.
Seeing people crush the ball.
I think he's so exciting to watch. But this might change things up for you.
Okay.
All right. A new year brings with it new opportunity to unleash a souped-up weapon at the Masters. This is coming to you straight from golf.com, okay? A souped-up weapon. And all signs point to DeChambeau putting a prototype Cobra Red Speed that's been in the bag for 3 years. He's been perfecting this club. The Cobra Rad Speed for 3 years, Brandon.
The Rad
and
Speed.
And now is the time.
Red or Rad?
Rad.
I thought he was saying Red at first. Rad. Then I caught the Rad the second time.
Rad.
I hope it fails.
And now will be the time he will unleash it on the world. If you want to bet against that, hey.
Sign me up.
That's your own grave you're lying.
Yeah, I'll pick him, and likely he'll play bad.